from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Sense. Oh my gosh, folks, fall is in the air already. Here it is, late August, I'm going to say. And I'm noticing a little bit of color change in the leaves. The crisp evenings have come through. In some areas of the state, we've dipped down to about the 30-degree mark, which is very indicative of fall. Of course, the sun's going away a little bit farther. It's getting darker earlier, and now's about the time you want to start thinking about getting sighted in, getting ready. And we're going to talk to Mike Green from Not Just Guns here in just a couple of seconds. But Conquest Sense, of course, makers of Evercalm and VS1, two of their biggest brands, plus some other great stuff. You can find them at ConquestSense.com. Also, I've been getting some pictures from our friends at the United Deer Farmers of Michigan, Gene Skiba over there and his deer farm, and all the great people putting putting some time and effort not only into quality deer, but quality deer management. They're helping with the truth about CWD. You can find that on the website, thetruthaboutcwd.com. And very happy to have them on board, as we are. Our good friend Mike Green from Not Just Guns. This guy is always, always, always busy, because guns are a hot issue in the United States. It seems around election time or any time that we have an opposing figure to the Second Amendment in the White House, guns become a big issue. The Second Amendment becomes the first line of defense, and our good friend Mike Green joins us right now from Not Just Guns. How are you, sir?
Doing fine. How are you doing today?
Doing good, man. Good to have you here. Last week, of course, you were like super, super busy. Not that you're not always super busy, but you were like busier than probably normal. And that's pretty crazy, because you guys, I mean, look, because of the COVID-19 thing, let's not beat that into the ground, because we're all tired of hearing about it. But everything else, an election year and everything else that's going on, you guys have been slammed since the day I met you.
We're blessed. It seems every day is like Black Friday over and over and over. It's crazy.
Now, what is the hot topic? I mean, we're getting into the hunting season, but it seems that the AR platform of firearms has really, really taken off, because they are more versatile than a lot of people realize, and they're not getting the respect. And I'm not saying because of firepower, but I'm saying because of versatility and their overall use, they're not getting the respect that they deserve.
They are not. A lot of people don't realize that as far as one of the number one selling firearms for Michigan deer season is the AR-15 platform and 450 Bushmaster or 350 Legend, along with bolt guns. But ARs are a major, major percentage of the firearm season rifles purchased. They are probably the most popular.
And I've noticed that over the years. Now, Mike, what makes these so versatile? Because, like I said, I mean, Ruger has come out with a whole... To me, they're the guys that I noticed first that came out in that hunting rifle platform. But, I mean, there are more than just the one caliber.
Oh, there are. I mean, we sell and shoot, and all of us here, that's kind of our forte, the AR platform. And you can go from a 22 long rifle all the way up to a 50 cal in a 50 Beowulf in an AR-15, 223, 204, 224 Valkyrie, 22 Nosler, 6.5 Creedmoor, 308, 6.5 Grendel. Man, there's a ton of them. 300 Blackout, 6.8 SPC. It goes on and on. There's just a list of calibers. And if we stay in the small platform, the AR-15 and a 223-556 platform, we can go all those calibers. Man, there's a ton of stuff. Then we get into the AR-10 platform, which is typically your 308, 6.5 Creedmoor, 260, 7.08. There's just a whole ton of calibers that are doable in that size platform also.
Man, you know, this is why we drag you in here, Mike, even though I know you're busy and I appreciate your time. But it's just there is so much to know about firearms. And look, I'm not going to know it. I'll be the first one to admit it. But when I go in someplace, I want somebody that's going to help educate me and direct me more towards what I need rather than what they want to sell me.
And I'm not trying to pat myself or our guys on the back, but it happens daily. Yesterday it happened. We had a gentleman come in, wanted to buy a particular rifle setup and a thermal optic. And we talked him out of spending about 10 grand because the information he'd been doing, the research and information given to him was okay, but it was really steering him and pigeonhole him into a product line that probably wasn't even going to do the best for what he wanted to do. So I gave him a ton of information, kind of overwhelmed him, and he's going to come back after he's looked at the information we give him and probably spend about a third of that money, and I think he's going to have a better setup for what he wants to do.
Now, see, that's unique. I'll say that's unique because, look, we all want to make money. I'm a business owner myself. I want to make money, but I don't want somebody to spend so much money that they're miserable with what they have and unhappy. And then I lose somebody, not to mention the word of mouth gets out that I sold a bunch of stuff they didn't need.
Right. You know, if we do our job right, we're here to listen, give good information, and build the relationship. The sales come over time. If you price your stuff fair and give good information, you've got to look at the big picture, the long term. We want to someday sell this person's kids guns and be their gun guy. When I was a kid growing up, I remember my dad and grandpa, they had gun guys. That gun guy is somebody to sell you stuff. You call them when you got a question. You call them on, hey, I ran across this. Is it a good deal? You're trying to build that relationship, and that's what we're trying to legitimately do is build a relationship with you, your friends, your family, and be all your gun guys.
Mike Green from Not Just Guns joining us here. There are auctions coming up Wednesday night, notjustguns.com. Tons of stuff up for auction, and not literally, like the name says, Not Just Guns. They have a great everyday carry stuff, a whole line of products there at that small store on Cedar Street at 127 and Mason. Mike, I want to quickly go back to the 223-556 because that's very popular, but it's still kind of misunderstood by people new to the industry.
Yeah, the whole, I hate to use the term assault weapon. We prefer modern sporting rifle. The AR-15 is it looks menacing because of the way it's portrayed in the media, but it's really 223-556, small bullet moving real fast. All the predator hunters, 90% of the guys out there are running AR-15s. Very soft recoiling gun, very easy to adjust the stock so a youth can shoot it, grab the stock, click it out 2 notches, mama can shoot it, click it out another notch, dad can shoot it. Very easy to shoot, very easily convertible to other calibers or for hunting one moment, home defense the next, target shooting, shooting woodchucks on the property one moment and literally going and shooting a competition with the same gun the next weekend. It's a very versatile, easy to accessorize. We joke about it and call them the Barbie doll for men. There's so many accessories. You can make your gun yours how you want it.
And pink. If it so suits you, you can go with pink.
Right,
But that's really funny. I've never heard that term before. And it's true, though, because that gun gets everything.
it does. And there's something, some of it's a little over the top and maybe not necessary. But then again, that's kind of our job to help point you where to spend your money and where not to spend your money. Pay an awful lot for a name brand, and you can get less for more money. We tell people all the time, you can buy a lot more rifle for equal or less money than what you may think. There's still some really good deals out there.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to the marketing aspect, too, the marketing of how much the company's putting into it. But we're going to talk more with Mike Green here in just a second, going to find out what's coming up on the auctions and find out how you can find him and what else he has there at Not Just Guns. We are Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason on the Michigan Talk Network.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Find a link to them on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up the podcast there as well, and you can find out what the United Deer Farmers of Michigan are all about. They are doing more than just work on their own farms, more than just raising big, just crazy deer. A lot of typical stuff, a lot of non-typical stuff, but again, they are helping put the work in for the wild deer herd at thetruthaboutcwd.com as well. So make sure you check them out. Good people, United Deer Farmers of Michigan, and our good friend Doug Roberts, a part of that organization as well from Conquest Sense. And going to the Conquest Sense hotline right now, back with Mike Green from Not Just Guns. Find them online at notjustguns.com. Mike, ammunition. We were talking about this the other day. As a matter of fact, my in-laws and I, it's funny because they joke about the guns I have, and you know, I love guns. I love them. Even to just look at and admire, because they can be pieces of just beautiful pieces of art, but without ammunition, they're just sometimes just that, just art, you know, or just something sitting there, but they need that second part to make them work. And sometimes it's a little difficult to find ammunition.
It is. Ammo right now is very tumultuous. There is not enough to go around. The demand is definitely superseding or overrunning the supply due to COVID, which we have all talked about and beat to a dead pulp. But it's just the supply chain is affected, from the manufacturing of primers all the way up. I know several manufacturers that are smaller than the big names, but we won't throw any names out there, but they've canceled OEM primer sales for 2020. Meaning that these smaller companies are not going to get primers that they need from the big three because they don't have enough for their own ammo at normal demand, let alone what's happening now. So they've actually suspended sales to the smaller companies, and it's we're really feeling the crunch from all sides.
You know, you don't want to be a conspiracy theorist on this stuff, but man, I tell you, if it weren't buying up all the ammo to make things difficult, introduce a new disease pandemic, and that'll definitely put things in a bind. Again, I am not a conspiracy theorist, nor am I going there. It's just a thought.
I hear you.
But you guys, go ahead. I'm sorry, Mike.
I wish we had a better, you know, an answer or something for it, but we're just all not getting it. And some of the shops that are doing less volume than what we are getting less. It's terrible.
Now, you guys have auctions on Wednesday nights and Thursday. I mean, you have a ton of stuff on those auctions on Wednesday nights. And I've seen the lineup outside your place on Friday, on Saturday, and this is after the auction on Wednesday night. But you are keeping ammunition for that auction so people can set their own price, what they're comfortable paying for, instead of you being the bad guy and gouging.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's over 450 lots per auction, roughly. It might be a little more, a little less, but we're trying to run, you know, 8,000 to 12,000 rounds of 9mm, which is tough to get. We're running 3,000 to 5,000 rounds of 223, 5.56. There's 40, 45. I'm holding that ammo back. Every time I get a shipment, I hold some back and I divide it over the next several weeks so that we've got good stuff that we've held back separate for the store that now we can put out there, give everybody a shot at getting it. And it allows them to pay what they want to pay. If you don't want to pay more and the bid goes higher, if somebody wants to pay more, let them. And then that keeps us out of it. We're not price gouging. Obviously, the costs have gone up, and we don't have as much. So we've had to limit, you know, sales to X amount of boxes with the purchase of a gun or for CPL class or, you know, basic pistol where they need ammo. We've had to hold some back for these things. So the auction has guaranteed ammo every week. There's going to be X amount on there. Get on there and, you know, buy a 100-round lot, a 200-round lot, a 300-round lot, a 500-round lot, a 1,000-round lot. Whatever you're comfortable, it's there for you.
You know, and to have that option is great, too, because sometimes somebody only wants X amount of rounds or they want a specific one, and it's hard enough to find as it is. but they have that extra cash laying around, and they're going to, I mean, which a lot of people do right now, Mike, and that's probably another reason, too, why business is good. I mean, business has always been good for you guys that I've seen at not just Guns there at Cedar Street at 127 and Mason, because of how you treat people. Every time I go in there, I'm greeted, not questioned or looked at. And it's about a great variety that you guys have there as well. We've talked in the past about everyday carry stuff, out the front knives and just basic things, you know, that people carry every day aside from their personal firearm.
We do. We try to stock, you know, we joke about it that we carry the cool stuff. Well, we're all shooters. We're all everyday carry guys. And the things that are popular, people want, we try to stock heavy in those areas and have a good variety for all the budgets. We joke that, you know, we've got the cool stuff because we all enjoy this stuff. We're doing it, shooting it, carrying it, living it, and we're just like everybody that comes through the door.
Absolutely. You know, you're not going to find a trailer hitch at your place.
Definitely not.
Which, you know, it's not a dig on anybody, but technically you're not going to find a trailer hitch anywhere right now because they're all sold out. But, I mean, everything that has to do with manufacturing is at a premium right now, and that really falls, you know, you guys really fall underneath that umbrella, but you're still finding a way to get your people taken care of, and that's pretty amazing.
It's a lot of work. It really is. I call it hustle and inventory. I've built some good relationships in the industry, and they're paying off right now. We just hit another mark with one of our distributors. We've only been with this particular distributor for 2 years. Friday, we broke the $1 million mark for this year.
Wow.
That's pretty big. That's what we normally do with the guys that we've had, you know, the other four guys we do a lot of business with. That's our mark usually every year, right around that number. And to do that in 7 months or less with a distributor we've only been working with a year, this is our second year, that's huge. But they take good care of us, so it's a two-way street.
Well, I tell you what, man, you guys are doing a great job, you and everybody over there. We appreciate all that you do. I know you've got a lot of things going on, so I'm going to cut you a few minutes early, if that's okay with you. But
yeah.
I think we've covered some great things, and I appreciate all that you do for us here. Mike Green, Not Just Guns, thanks, man, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you, too. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, man. You, too. Good luck to you today.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Mike Green, Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127, one of the great sponsors here at Wild Michigan, and definitely some great people over there. I mean, they'll handle your CPL class. They'll handle you with personal protection stuff, whether it's open carry, concealed carry, everyday carry items, accessories, or something for home defense or for hunting. I mean, let's not forget about that. Hunting and fishing is what we do here on the show at Wild Michigan. But they are definitely some great people to talk to, and check them out at notjustguns.com. Wednesday night auctions, and, of course, Thursday pickup, just like that, no questions. And just make sure your paperwork's all in order. Lots of things coming up here on the show. We're going to speak with Bill Parker from Michigan Outdoor News here in just a little bit. Also, next week, we're going to hope to talk to our good friend Richard P. Smith about bear hunting in Michigan, that season coming up. And I know we've got a few people that are first-time bear hunters. David Springborn, right? You're going to want to hear this show next week as well. You want to find us online. It's wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up the podcast there. We're being brought to you by Conquest Scents in Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the Great Lakes State, all over the world via our website. WildMichiganRadio.com is where we have our podcast. Pick it up there for free in its entirety. All the stuff that we air on the radio will air on the podcast as well. And we thank our good friends at Conquest Scents for getting that on board. And, of course, Not Just Guns and the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. And you can pick it up in several places, iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It's on like 20 or 30 different sites. Just look for Wild Michigan Radio. So there it is. I'm Duran Martinez. My good friend Bill Parker from Michigan Outdoor News joins me. And Bill, look, we talked about this with our friend Mike Green about how we have put this COVID-19 thing. I mean, just look, you can't do anything without it affecting something in either a negative manner or a positive manner. But we're going to spin this whole thing positive because more people are getting outdoors, but there have been fewer shows to go to. I mean, look, man, there are a lot of shows have been canceled thus far because we can't have the gatherings, we can't have large groups together, and everything else. And how many shows? Let's go back to January. How many shows did we get under our belt before this all happened? How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Duran. Good to talk with you.
You as well.
I know it. It seems like it was so long ago now when the whole COVID thing kicked up its heels and started. But yeah, there were a ton of shows that were canceled, especially like March and April and even late February when things were just getting started here. And everything kind of for this year is on hold, and people are just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with the restrictions as it stands right now. You know, you're not. I think the limit is 100 people indoors at an indoor gathering. So that makes it obviously very difficult and problematic to have any kind of outdoor shows like that. But you know, everybody's hopeful that maybe something big will change between now and then, and get a little bit more relaxed restrictions and be able to you know, put something together. But boy, yeah, it's a real tough go right now.
It is. I mean, it's, look, we just got off the phone with our friend Mike Green, and Not Just Guns. His business is absolutely, pardon the pun, booming right now.
Right.
With guns and ammunition being at a premium because of manufacturing. I mean, and things have been cut for next year by some of the big manufacturers, that the little guys making ammunition aren't going to be getting the primers that they need to put their ammunition together. It's a curse and a blessing all at the same time.
Yeah, it really is, and you know, the problem is the supply chain, and you know, everything that was in stock and has been in stock has been pretty much sold out, and things are trickling in, but boy, there's a lot of places that you can't even find, you know, the popular bullet rounds that people are looking for, and you know, you go to three or four different places, and nobody's got them. Maybe you find one place that has four boxes left, but you can only buy one. Which is good. I'm glad that the places that do have them do have restrictions, so at least it can spread them out a little bit, and you don't get one guy coming in and buying 40 boxes and nobody else gets any,
right.
You know. I understand their thought and their concerns, but, yeah, it's just been kind of a trickle effect to get everything back on the shelves and get things back up and running, and fishing has seen the same thing. A lot of just empty shelves and empty storerooms with fishing supplies. I talked to one guy that's a buyer for one of the bigger retailers in the state, and he said that, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, however you look at it, a lot of our fishing, a majority of our fishing gear comes from China. And China shut down in November and didn't open back up until, you know, late spring, early summer. And he explained that they had ships that usually come, like one in February, a shipment comes, and in May another shipment comes, and they got nothing. No shipments at all. Nobody was manufacturing anything.
So mm-hmm.
What they had on the shelves and in the storeroom was all they had. And once that was gone, boy, you know, certain things, rod and reel combos. I've been to a few of the local retailers, and you can't find a rod and reel combo. Everybody is sold out. You might be able to put one together yourself from the
right.
reel section and the rod section. But, yeah, it's just been really crazy, and a lot of the frustration, you know, from the customers is going back to the retailers, and it's really not their fault. Like he said, you know, people need to understand our shelves aren't empty because we're not restocking them. Our shelves are empty because we don't have anything to restock, you know. And he said a lot of times people come in and say, well, you know, do you have any in the back room, or what's the deal? Come on, get your stock stuff out
yeah.
here. And like, no, we don't have any, just not there. And slowly it's coming, and there's anecdotal evidence that the hunting and fall should be okay, but I guess time will tell on that. Hopefully there'll be enough supplies for everybody and enough shells and bullets, and everybody can find what they need. But, yeah, it's had an impact on everything. Like you said, it's touched just about every aspect of our lives.
It has. You know, and Bill Parker, our guest here from Michigan Outdoor News, Bill, you really brought up a good point, is people are saying, you know, when is your next shipment going to come in? If there's nothing there to ship, it's not coming in. You know, and that's right. that's the first question out of our mouth, just out of instinct, you know, because we have been so used to supply being there at all times. And had I known that toilet paper and ammunition were going to be the first two things to go, I'd have stocked up years ago,
right.
Especially for a virus that does not affect your lower intestinal system.
Right. Yeah, that was a head scratcher, wasn't it?
You know what?
Oh, boy.
I say stock up on liquor because that will be like gold one of these days.
Yes, exactly.
Liquor and batteries.
And you know, just to touch a little bit more on what you said, the other problem is that when they do finally get something coming in, they're not able to get as many as they want because, you know, they want 5,000 pieces of this, but they only manufactured 10,000, and they need to split that up between 15 businesses.
Right.
So everybody can't get what they want. Everybody gets a little bit of what they ask for, and then they try to find some more, you know, elsewhere. So, you know, like you said, yeah, when it does come in, it comes in small packages, and if it's not there, it's just not there.
Yeah, it's been supply and demand has been a difficult thing because, you know, you're dealing with a country you don't want to deal with, but because of the deals made over time, that's the company we've been relying on. And, you know, they're the ones manufacturing everything because they can do it the cheapest. Well, guess what? Need to start pouring some molds, get out the wacky wall crawlers back out of your kid's toy chest,
yeah,
and start pouring your own, you know, soft plastics or something.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and even locally produced things, you know, we were shut down for so long that manufacturing just went flat. There wasn't anything being made. So even the locally produced stuff is way behind. You know, they're 3 months behind or 4 months behind where they would be at this point in the game. So even that supply is very limited, you know, and people just can't get the numbers and the supplies of the things that they want.
You know, one thing I am seeing a lot of is charter boat fishing. I want to talk a little bit about this in the next segment because people are getting in some cases, better than they were income from unemployment, and they have time on their hands. It looks like the charter boat fishing industry is doing a little bit better. But then again, like I said, I really kind of want to get into that in the next segment. But fishing in general, I see a lot more people getting out, I not being one of them. But a lot of my friends are finding more time to get out and do some fishing, and they're stocking the freezers with lots of walleye and bluegill and things of that nature, which is great.
Yes, and even license sales is up. Like the last numbers that we have were through May when they checked them with last year's numbers, but in May they were up 60,000, almost 10%, a little over 10% from the same period of time last year. And a lot of those license sales are new people, you know, not people that bought license last year or maybe not the year before, but a lot of those are brand new people or, you know, people, like I said, that didn't fish on a regular basis. But boy, everybody came back in droves this year because, like you said, they had the time and some people had a little extra cash and they're able to go out and wet a line and get on the water. So that's a great thing. Turkey hunting was the same thing. Turkey hunting was off the charts this year as far as participation. So in that respect, it's been good for our outdoor pursuits and our hunting and fishing, because I think we're getting a little bit of interest from people that maybe you know, didn't have that interest before, and
sure,
hopefully we can set that hook and keep them online with us.
All right, man, that's exactly what we want to do. Bill Parker, Michigan Outdoor News, going to talk with him more in just a couple seconds via the Conquest Sense hotline. Make sure you check out our podcast at wildmichiganradio.com. Michigan, digging that tune, man. Young fella out of Otsego, Michigan. That voice, Alex, pump that up again real quickly, please. Year-old Myron Elkins out of Otsego, Michigan. Had a conversation with Myron the other day, and we want to get him here on the show and his band. I mean, look, at 19, I didn't think I knew more than how to put gas in a car, much less have that voice. But he's a fine young man. We had the opportunity to speak with him the other day, and like I said, we're going to try and get him on the show. And it's incredible to hear somebody with that kind of a voice at 19. Myron Elkins and the Dying Breed, and they're going to be touring around Michigan. So look for that, and maybe even on the big stage one of these days. But back with our good friend Bill Parker right now via the Conquest Sense Hotline. I don't know if you caught any of that, Bill, but that kid has got a voice.
Yeah, he sure does. I never even sounded that good in the shower.
Right? Look, I've for about, I don't know, 30 years now, I've been singing with my friends' bands in front of people and stuff, but I didn't sound like that at 19.
Yeah, you've got some talent.
That's,
boy.
That's taken a lot of whiskey and a lot of cigars to make me sound like that. But Myron Elkins, look at him up. He's 19 out of Otsego, and just a really cool kid, and he's got a great voice, and hopefully he'll do some big things. But back to and he loves the outdoors. He loves the hunting and fishing, so that's why we want to have him here in studio, and maybe do some acoustic stuff for us, which would be great. But
that'd be cool. Yeah, even better.
It is so funny too, Bill. When I talk to him, like, whoa, where's the dude that's singing? Because I don't know where that voice is coming from that voice.
No kidding. Wow.
But he's great, and he's got a regular job, works at a shop in Kalamazoo, I believe. But we're just gonna try and get him on the air. Get him here in the studio.
Yeah, he's got some talent. Boy, that sounded great.
I know. And Alex, if you would please, our producer Alex Clark, make sure you go out with that as well. But back to Bill Parker talking about charter boat fishing here. A good friend of mine, Roy Ziegler, was taking his grandsons to the dock. He's going to drop them off for a day of fishing. And they said, "No, Grandpa, you're coming with us." He's like, "No, I got to get back to the cabin." He's like, no, you're coming with us. This trip was planned for you to come with us." And boy, I tell you what, a prouder guy you will not find to spend a day on the big league fishing, big lake rather, fishing for Kings and Lakers. And we've been seeing, like you said, a lot of that this year because the time is there. People are off of work and they're making good use of that time, getting back to family.
Yes, it's been very cool. I've talked to a couple of guys and captains that have said they have seen more, father and son, father, grandfather and son, and just, father, daughter, just family groups. A lot more family groups going out on the water this year than ever before. And part of that, I'm sure, is, because people are, if you're not part of the family, you have to social distance, and then that's difficult. But if you all live under the same household, it's not a problem to get on a boat and go fishing and get out on the water and have fun. So I think, people, rather than calling their buddies to go, they're calling their kids and their parents and saying, "Hey, let's get a trip together and let's go out and catch some fish." And from what I hear, the fishing's been pretty good too. A lot of places are doing very, very well, especially on the walleye side of things.
The walleye's been, speaking with Bill Parker, the walleye has been phenomenal. When we first started the show almost 15 years ago, we started to get up on this wave, this the 10 or 11 year wave that they say that walleye have, as it kind of ebbs and flows with the production of walleye. But we've been riding this crest for so long that the year classes after year class have just been getting better and better and better. The numbers are up, and it's amazing what is happening.
Yeah, it really is. In fact, on Lake Erie, which really supplies, the Detroit River, Lake St. Clair, St. Clair River, and some of the fish in Saginaw Bay, they've had, back-to-back year classes that have just been off the charts. So many fish are being produced in that lake, and people are going out, and it's a lot of times it's not a matter of getting a limit. It's a matter of how long it'll take you to get a limit.
Right.
And I've talked to people that have gone out, on a two-hour trip and had their four-person limits and back at the dock in a couple of hours, which sometimes it's kind of disappointing. It's like, no, let's keep fishing, throw them back, let's go, you know.
Right.
We're just getting started. But, yeah, there's been some very, very good reports.
No, the Kings and the Lakers have been doing well also. We've been seeing some really good-sized Kings coming out of Lake Michigan this year.
Yes, just like last year. I think the numbers are down a little bit, obviously, from the heyday and you know, what we were catching 10 years ago. It's more of a mixed bag, but some of the fish they're getting are just monsters. You know, a lot of fish over 20 pounds and dozens of them over 30 pounds. Just some really big fish. And if you've never been out salmon fishing, get out there, because now's the time to go. When you hook up with a 20-pound or a 25-pound king, it'll change your whole perspective on fishing.
Well, you know, we're targeting lake trout more, too. I mean, we've been, you know, we've seen some steelhead come out of the big waters this year, but the people are really starting to target the lake trout more.
Yeah, so definitely a lot more of them. And I don't know really why they get such a bad rap. They're good to eat. I've eaten lake trout many times, and it's delicious. And some people, I think, just have a taste for salmon, and if they can't have their salmon, they don't want anything else. But, you know, give it a try yourself and check it out, because I enjoy lake trout, and you can cook it just about any way, you know, you can cook anything else. The way I like it is just on the grill,
mm-hmm.
you know, with some seasoning on it and some onions, and wrap it up in some aluminum foil and put it on the grill for 15 minutes, and boy, we did that, caught one with our friend Dave Rose.
Yeah.
We were up fishing on Crystal Lake one time, and he had a recipe on the grill that he did for us, and we ate the whole fish. There was nothing left,
And you said that, too, and I've never understood. I've never had a problem with lake trout. They call them greasy or whatever. I like them.
Yeah, I do, too. I don't understand it.
But
they're good eating fish.
But, yeah, it's just really cool to see that species and the other ones, you know, everybody kind of getting along. I mean, we were so worried about invasives, which we do anyway. I'm always worried about invasives, but to have them kind of be a benefit in the end. I mean, the alewives was originally an invasive species. They've turned into a food source. Now the gobies become a food source. And just these things have had a way of working themselves out, although we don't welcome them.
Right. And it's, you know, it's the change. That nobody likes change, especially when you get into a good pattern that works for you, and then something like that comes in and the whole ecosystem changes. Mother Nature has a pretty good way of balancing things out and working it out, and certainly it takes time. You know, it comes over a period of years and not overnight. But, yeah, like you said, now we're catching more of a mixed bag. Rather, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, it was salmon.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's salmon and trout. It's a good mix, and you still bring home a lot of nice fillets and a lot of good-eating fish to bring home and put in the freezer and get on the frying pan.
Speaking with Bill Parker via the Conquest Sense hotline here on Wild Michigan, real quickly, Bill, any word on the recreational anglers versus the commercial fishery?
No, nothing's happened yet. They're still... legislation, a package of bills from both parties working their way through. I think probably the bills that the recreational industry, the recreational fishermen, has a lot more leverage to pass, but they're making tweaks to it and they're making changes to it. You know, just like anything, it's going to be a compromise, and it just depends on where that line of compromise falls. But, you know, the big concern for recreational anglers is that the commercial anglers want to be able to keep some walleye, some perch, some lake trout. And it's like, no, we're the ones that brought those back. We're the ones
yeah.
that got the walleye fishery back on track. And we got it back to where it is because we want to have the fisheries that we have. And, you know, if you look at track record, it doesn't bode well for the commercial guys. Once they start... you know, opening those things up, it changes the dynamics. And again, they're, you know, the changing ecosystem. I don't
right.
think there are enough commercial fishermen left to really have a across the ecosystem
sure.
impact on it. But they could certainly have small impacts in the areas that they are that would, you know, affect a whole lot of recreational anglers.
Absolutely. Bill Parker, appreciate your time. Find him, Michigan Outdoor News. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure, Duran. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks again to Mike Green from Not Just Guns. Also, Doug and Karen from Conquest Sense. And everybody at United Deer Farmers of Michigan for bringing you this show. We are Wild Michigan. Find us online, wildmichiganradio.com, on the Michigan Talk Network.